It's a joy to be with you this morning. For any of you newcomers, my name is Benjamin Reed, and I have the joy of serving on the elders team here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and I'm so grateful for the elders team. I just want everyone to know that. And it's a joy to serve with these men of God. And I'm just so excited about what God's doing in our church. And did any of you find it a blessed time last week to be together with the Spanish congregation? Wasn't that an amazing experience? Wow, the food, the fellowship, the meeting, the service together was a wonderful, wonderful time. And I think it's important for us to just say it out loud. We need our Spanish brothers and sisters, and they need us. We need each other. I also want to publicly thank all those who helped make it happen in the kitchen, the table, setting up and taking down, and the serving of one another. It's important what we do when we serve one another. I'm glad to support Pastor Jason this morning by sharing God's word, and we need to be in prayer for him as he shares at the other church this morning. And on a brief side note, I just want to express my appreciation to each and every one of you for the generous support and fellowship and prayer that I receive from you, my home church, in my ministry at Urban Sanctuary. I minister to pastors, missionaries, and their adult missionary kids who come back to Canada to go to school, to find work, and people in seminary getting ready to enter ministry. So I'm grateful for your partnership in making that happen. If you have questions about what I do, I'm happy to talk to you about that at any time, and I have an email update that I'd love to get you on it if you don't have it yet. We have a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. We have a short passage of Scripture of 5 verses. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. Just as an overview, then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the text. First of all, I would like to say what this passage is not teaching. We're going to go over some things that I think are in error. 2, the context and the characters that are involved in the passage, who they were and their relationship to one another. 3, the heart of Christ's response to Martha. You were worried and troubled about many things. Then a few thoughts about application for us in answering the question, so what? What does this mean to me? So let's go to prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to gather in freedom today. Thank you for the Word of God that speaks to our hearts. Thank you for our pastor, Jason Hagen, and his family, and the blessing that they are to us and to this church. Bless him and anoint him today as he shares God's Word in another church family here in Edmonton. Bless that sister congregation in Christ this morning. Now guide me now, Father, as I share from this familiar story from the Bible. May you speak to your people through me today. Amen. Well, in introduction, I want to make sure I speak clearly about what this passage is not saying. So we'll start off with some negative statements. I submit to you this morning that this passage is not stating that quote-unquote spiritual work is better or more valued than physical labor, or there is a separation of secular and spiritual work. Jesus and all of the New Testament put value in all work and vocation. And I draw your attention this morning to the passage that nowhere did Jesus tell Martha that her work in hospitality and serving was not important or not valued. He did not direct her to leave the kitchen. I think Jesus secretly wanted to eat. Martha gets a bad rap over the years sometimes. She was not sinning by making food and feeding people. I would like us in the church family to encourage each one of us in our different kinds of work that we all have. Amen? God calls us to different work in the use of our values, our skills, and our abilities. We do a disservice to one another by having a pecking order of jobs, as some are more valuable or more important than others. If you are without work and are praying about looking for work, we want to support you in your calling that God has put on your heart to work in your field and to be a light for Christ. regardless of what it is. I would especially urge parents this morning who talk about their children, and parents like to brag about their children. Let's just say it out loud. We all do. We need to be very careful about value statements up to your kids, about vocation, and encourage steps towards independence and hard work, regardless of what that is. We desperately need God's people in every area of life working hard for the glory of God. Our vocation is exactly an exploration. And so I want us to encourage one another in our different vocations of work and life. Secondly, I would submit this morning that this passage is not saying that Mary's personality is better than Martha's either. Let's just come out and say it. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus always respected people for their individuality and their uniqueness. Jesus did not want Martha to stop being Martha and try to be a different person. This would be a dangerous teaching that would harm everyone. The heart of the discipleship of following Christ is teaching that we need to encounter the truth of who we are and that we are loved each for our gifts, our quirks, and our uniqueness. I am not supposed to become like Pastor Jason. I love and respect him. As everybody knows, we are very different. And I know that I am called to be me, Benjamin Reed, an ever-growing disciple of Jesus Christ. So comparison is a dangerous thing that we find ourselves in. Well, let's go on into the text and look at the context of the passage and the main people in it. The passage says, Jesus attended a certain village, and it was attended by a woman named Martha. In the New Testament, we certainly learn this was the hometown of Bethany. Bethany was on the outskirts of Jerusalem and was the home of the siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We learn about this in John chapter 11. And I urge you later today, spend some time in John 11 and 12, and you'll learn more about these siblings. Bethany, in John 11, we learn, is 2 miles from the city of Jerusalem. It's clear in this passage and in other gospel passages that the nature of the relationship between Jesus and the three siblings was a very close one. They spoke to Jesus as if he were a part of their own family. In John 11, we see that Jesus was so troubled by their anguish over their brother Lazarus' death that he stood at Lazarus' tomb and he wept. When I was a kid growing up in church, my brothers and I were involved in Bible quizzing or Bible question and answer. Some of you probably were too. And I quickly learned that John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And there's a whole sermon in those two words, isn't there? Jesus wept. And I've taken a lot of comfort from that this week, in that simple fact that the Savior that we follow knows what it means to weep and to cry. I submit to you that Jesus liked coming to this house because he felt like he was among family and the feeling was mutual. I want to stop there and make a sidebar about how important it is to enjoy hospitality and good food and fellowship with people whom you love. Amen? We need safe people in our life. I hope that you have safe people in your life to do just that with. Isn't it amazing that the Savior of the world, Jesus, liked to go have dinner with his friends? I love that. That's so awesome. And if I asked you this morning, who are the safe people in your life, who would you name? Some commentators on this passage stated that after the sending out of the 72, earlier in chapter 10, and then welcoming them back, there is a good chance that possibly as many as 100 people showed up in the home and yard of Mary and Martha. And that provided me with some definitely needed context. The extra number of people you have, the more you have, the more stress comes with hospitality. We don't know that for sure, but likely the numbers of people were higher than just Jesus and his disciples. Martha, from all appearances, appears to be the eldest of the family and shows that she takes a lot of initiative in the hospitality side of welcoming Jesus and his disciples to eat and rest at their home. She talks with Jesus in John 11 in a very dramatic and honest and emotional manner over the death of her brother. She did not dwell on protocol or the expected way to communicate. This suggests that they have gone past, "Hi, how are you?" in their relationships. John 11:27 also states, Martha said to Jesus, she said to Christ, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Mary is the younger sister who has fallen in love with Jesus, the Savior of the world, and tries to lavish all of her heart, soul, and affections upon Christ. Again in John 12, we are given backstory to Mary, and that it was indeed Mary who came into the dining area where Jesus and his disciples were, cried, broke the expensive perfume over the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, weeping and crying all the time as she was doing it. What is at the heart of Christ's response to Martha? It's clear that Martha had not been having a good day. I think all of us can relate to that. We've all had days where we wish we'd had better days. And her day was going to be more challenged by Christ. She approaches Jesus very bluntly with a message of offense about her sister in verse 40 and her expectation about her help in the light of many guests. She says, and I quote from verse 40, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work alone?" How many of you have had expectations about someone in your family that you just expect them to know without having to communicate with them? Ever done that? I have. I'm pretty good at it. They should know what I expect of them. The passage is silent. I find it interesting. It's silent on the question of whether Martha had actually asked Mary to come and help. It doesn't say. It doesn't say in the story. Martha is not alone with a pull of wanting other people to feel sorry for her. Maybe you've done that. Perhaps this is a temptation in your life, in your relationships. The Holy Spirit has shone his light in my heart with a lifelong pull of my flesh towards self-pity. Woe is me. Have any of you been offended by a family member and then gone to a different family member and said, "Make my other sibling come and talk to me"? How did that work out for you? Not too well, I would say. The psychology term that is often used is called triangulation. Instead of a direct communication with the offender, I go to somebody else to lobby and manipulate. It's toxic most of the time. Conflict and how it is resolved is a very interesting study. And when you go look at different cultural differences around the world, moving into these settings, you will discover that not everybody deals with conflict in the same way, that's for sure. In verse 41, let's read together. "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the best part. It will not be taken away from her.'" This could easily read, "Ben, Ben, you are worried and troubled about many things." I want us to pause right here and simply ask you all here this morning directly, what are you worried and troubled about as you came into church today? Using your name twice in the same sentence is something else. Remember, your mom used to call your name? It used to be, if it was your full name or your Benjamin or Ben. If it was Benjamin, I knew I was in trouble. Using your name twice, though, in the same sentence gives an indication that Jesus felt that this was very important for Martha. Jesus is saying to Martha that you don't have to give in to worry and anxiety and the trouble that is knocking at your door. But maybe we've already done that this morning, and we've opened the door to worry and anxiety already together today. Many of us are obsessive, aren't we? Martha was obsessive and deep into her doing her hospitality, and it had swallowed her up. She was obsessed in doing good. She apparently wanted to show her love for Christ through her hard work. We get obsessed and obsessive about many good things in life, don't we? There's nothing wrong with hospitality and loving people with your gifts and your talents. But we can let it swallow us up. I submit to you today that Jesus was reminding Martha and Mary. I'm sure Mary was listening to this with both ears. She wasn't ignoring this. About a pattern that he had laid down for in Luke 6. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke 6 this morning. Just a few chapters back. And we're just going to review a pattern of life that Jesus showed for us. Luke chapter 6, 12 to 17. Luke chapter 6, 12 to 17. Now it was during this time that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent all night in prayer to God. When morning came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he had named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Then he came down with them and stood at a level place. And a large number of his disciples had gathered along with a vast multitude from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. There's a pattern in this passage of Scripture that I would like to draw your attention to this morning. And it is this: solitude with God leads to community with God's people. And ministry flows out from there as Jesus flows through us. I want to repeat that again. Solitude with God should lead to community with God's people. And ministry flows out from community as Jesus flows through us. Let's just unpack that together. Time alone with the Father in heaven. We need to be still and worship in the presence of God, our Lord. We need to get on our knees, and we need to learn what prayer means. If we don't know how to pray, we begin simply. Sometimes it's just showing up and saying, "Jesus, I'm here. Come meet me." Are you able to be honest in prayer? Sometimes the best prayer is a good cry before the Lord. Do we try to be somebody else when we pray and use fancy language? Do we try to tell God what we think he wants us to say? Solitude with the Father leads to development of community in Christ with others. And in Luke 6, we see Jesus chose his 12 disciples. He invested heavily into these people, his community. So I want to ask this morning, who do I do life with that really knows me? Christ invested heavily with his 12 disciples for his time on earth. He got to know them. He knew their quirky behavior and their character. Maybe you're here this morning and you vowed to yourself in your heart of hearts that I never want to be hurt again by other people. Are you afraid this morning to let the guard down and get to know people? I know I often am. Christ calls us to band together, and we need to get to know others better. If you are afraid, you are in good company, because there are many of us like that. We help carry each other's load. I have a confession to make. I'm fiercely independent, and I find it difficult to ask for help. However, I'm learning, and I invite you onto this journey of learning to ask others for help. However, It's hard. And I would want to add this morning, when somebody shares maybe a heavy burden with you, I would ask you not to panic. I would ask you to be present with that person. And I would ask you to offer to pray with them. It's a wonderful gift. It's probably the best gift that we can do, is pray for someone who's just shared a heavy burden. You don't need to solve all their problems. And then finally, moving into mission together in community. Going out into the gospel work in partnership with others is what community life is all about. We're not to do it all alone. Jesus went everywhere with his disciples and did kingdom work together. So a question to pray about is, who could I link arms with to help in God's kingdom? I want you to seriously pray about that with me. Ministry is using our gifts for the glory of God with others, and then leaving the results up to God. So I believe the core of Jesus' gentle but firm rebuke to Martha was for her to reset her vision and her focus. We all need to have a reset. Do again. Start over. In the Martha story, and using the language from it, when you sit and listen to Jesus before your shift to cook and clean, you have a different perspective in the middle of it. You don't have to perform, for example, work harder, give more, serve more, do more to earn Jesus' love. He already loves you with a steadfast love. You rejoice in the security of Jesus' love and affirmation. Then you partner with others in team, already secure, and that helps you to celebrate each other's gifts and abilities that they bring to the table. You recognize that human love is broken and imperfect, and we are being transformed, and we adjust our unrealistic, obsessive demands that we make of one another. We don't have to control and have everything under our domination. We do this because of our significance is in who we belong to, our Lord Jesus Christ, and not what we do. Therefore, we can serve out of joy. And then we can see Jesus work through all of his church together, where everybody gets invited to be involved. That's what grace looks like. So in closing this morning, what does this mean for us? True to form, whenever I preach a message and get ready to preach, God usually works me over pretty good with his truth. And most preachers would say the same thing. I know I've been anxious and weighed down by a good many things this week and the last few weeks. And I've had to do many resets, do-overs, where I have to review a few things. And I have 6 things in application that I've had to do to reset and deal with my anxiety. 1, I have to name my darkness that is oppressing me and weighing me down. I have to voice it out. What is it? 2, I remind myself of the truth that I am adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 3, I have to remind myself that he loves me and he takes good care of me. 4, I am reminded by the gospel that he, Jesus, gives me significance. I am significant because of Jesus. 5, then I invite Jesus into the darkness I am facing. Then I must listen after I invite him in. The best thing that happens is the assurance of his loving presence that shows up. Then if I can share it with somebody else and ask them to pray for me. What about you this morning? We're in the Christmas season. It gets dark pretty early, and the darkness outside can sometimes show up in our soul. Our soul can be dark. Do you need to do a reset, do over, about what you are anxious and weighed down with today? If you want someone to pray with after we're done, I'll be down here at the front. I'd be happy to pray with anybody who would like to come up for prayer. This is a season where we're inviting Jesus into the reality that we're facing. And I'm so grateful for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he died that we may have hope and life.